Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast, round 22, 2023. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and the lid is off, Adam. Three-peat. I'm calling it now.
This was not the intro we agreed on. Hello, Junk Timers. G'day, fuckface.
Mate.
No.
It's happening.
No, the lid is not off.
I'm calling it. You need to take all of September off. You need to make sure. Okay, I think, yeah, the Thursday night final, qualifying, that'll be against the Pies, I reckon. And then you're going to have that 2 week off because you go straight through the prelim after a stunning win. And then when you win the prelim, I think they'll definitely put you on a Friday night. And then grand final. Oh, my God, it's going to be amazing. Grand final. Get your tickets. Line up out the front, mate, already. I tell you what, I'll see if I can get you a little ticket in the members, mate. Come with me. Come and have a galette and a pancake in the members, mate.
For old time's sake. So I did the ladder predictor last night, and I did like worst case scenarios,
sure.
And we can still miss. Dude. So until that changes,
dude.
I am just living in just desperate fear of a flashback of last year. I think I need to go to counselling about the Collingwood-Carlton game from last year. Like, I think there is undealt with trauma within my body.
I actually am genuinely curious. Do you think there would be, apart from professional sports people, I reckon there would be people who have gone to counselling for trauma after a team have lost. Like somewhere surely in the world, someone has gone to a psych and said, they've said, what's your problem? And they said, Real Madrid lost and came second in the champion.
Well, do you reckon if that was the case, then there would be like thousands upon thousands of St Kilda fans getting a mental health plan. And they're like, you're back again. And they're like, bro, it just keeps happening.
It's like you're a cash cow. It's Frio and you guys in that final game of the year, right?
No, we play GWS, and that could potentially be for a spot in the eight. So we've got Gold Coast this weekend. All Carlton need to do is win one more game, but we had to do that last year and we didn't.
Yep.
And what we need, the big game for us, and I did the ladder predictor, is I believe Adelaide and Sydney.
Okay.
Is the one that really... if Sydney lose, and I think Carlton can't go out, I think, is the way that it worked, having done the ladder predictor last night.
Yeah, gotcha. I fucking love the ladder predictor. Back in the heyday of the Hawks, just like I'm flicking through and just like getting the machinations of the finals and the top eight and the top four and just going looking and then just clicking that little number.
Yeah, but see, it's a fun thing to do when you're going, oh, will we finish second or third?
Yeah,
you know,
sure,
we will get a home final first. But when it's to make the eight, you're like, oh, this is bullshit. And you know what they've taken away from the ladder predictor is you can't do percentage anymore. So it's just a win or a loss, and that's it.
That's what I was going to ask. Have they, because it used to be, I think the default was 24 points for a win.
I think so, but you could blow it out. So like the Western Bulldogs have West Coast this round. So clearly their percentage, which is currently 108, will be close to 240 once they play the West Coast Eagles next week.
The fuck is going on down there? Okay, we'll get to all of that stuff. But big wins for both of our teams, Adam. The Hawks got up as well. The lid is off for 2025 down at Glenferrie Oval.
No, and so it should be. That was a great win against the Western Bulldogs, and you did Carlton a favour. I'm starting to like teams that are doing us a favour. Like Richmond, you can go fuck yourselves for putting in such an insipid performance against St Kilda yesterday at Marvel Stadium.
Yep.
They didn't fire a shot, the Tigers. Because I thought when Trent Cotchin retired during the week that this was going to be his farewell game. But it wasn't. I think they're holding it off till they're at the MCG because they knew no one would turn up for it.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, sure. No, there was some. I mean, we'll get to it as well. So many fucking eight shapers coming up over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a nuts. Mm. Absolutely nuts. But also, the Matildas! Now, Adam, for a long time, you've been strongly against women's sport. You've boycotted the AFLW for a good 8 years now.
Yeah, no, that is true.
Since the very first game. I remember you went to the very first game against Collingwood and Carlton at Princes Park.
Mate, I went one harder. I boycotted women's netball. You were and it's a really strange thing to do because it's just women who play it at the elite level.
You were the bloke out the front heckling Gil McLaughlin. Remember that that first game? There was that guy heckling Gil McLaughlin going, oh, why'd you make it free? That was
Mate,
you.
That's the only reason I went to that game.
But so where were you?
I was watching at home. So I was going to go to the Carlton-Melbourne game on Saturday night. So that was the one where they were showing the Matildas live up until I think regulation time finished and then everyone ducked out the back to watch the penalties because the game had started.
Yep.
But I ended up going to the Collingwood-Geelong game on the Friday night and I couldn't be fucked going to the footy two nights running.
You are a weird football fan. You're a very strange football fan. How you don't go to games. Like, I'm coming down to Melbourne for a fortnight from, like, Thursday, getting set for a live show. More on that later. And I've looked at the fixture already and just like, there are two games I can go, so I can go against. I think we're playing Melbourne.
Yeah,
playing
but
Freo,
you're living in Rod Carter Studios, mate.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Your access to games is very limited this year.
That's
whereas
true.
I, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm just prepping myself, you know. Don't want to be too worn out by the time the finals comes around, Michael.
Sure, sure. Now, let me guess, Geelong Collingwood, let me guess. Was this a little front bar freebie? Am I guessing right there, right there?
No, I was in the box thanks to our good friends at Fox Footy.
Oh, okay, fuck. So it's another step above.
Yeah.
So you have it's okay. Take me through. Who's in the box for that one?
So I was there with who's going to be soon to be friend of the show, Tommy Little, was in the box, and then our other friend Steph, who works at Fox Footy, and so I went along to that, and it was great. It was a really good game.
Wait a second. So only you three in the box? Surely other?
No,
people.
there were other people, obviously.
Yeah. Name names. Are there notables around?
Well, friend of the show, Cam Mooney. I spent a good half talking to him. He's a ripper bloke.
Yeah, sure. Okay, you're very tight-lipped about that adventure on the weekend. But
no, I'm just saying that the other people in the box were people that I didn't even know.
Yeah,
so
gotcha.
You just go, you know, there are other, you know, they let civilians in sometimes, Michael, and you gotta give them their space.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, I watched it on the couch as well, actually. And actually, on reflection, I didn't realise, but they had a live site. I knew they had the one at Homebush, which seemed like a bridge too far, I reckon. Oh, which is ironic because they would have had to go over a very iconic bridge. But they had one at North Shore, North Sydney Football Oval. So I think I might even try and go out to that one on Wednesday. It's a bit closer to Rod Carter Studio. So and Homebush looked like I had 100,000 people, and North Sydney would be, you know, packed this Wednesday, but a bit more comfortable, I imagine. You can sit in a seat.
How about if you were at that live site in Hobart where the feed dropped out just as the last penalty kick was being taken?
Dude, you could not write something like that.
But also, too, you just like, because it was an Optus feed, and you're like, anyone who's been with Optus over the journey in the last, you know, 30 years has just gone, oh, yeah, nah, that seems about right.
Yeah.
That Optus would cut out just as they're going to take the penalty. Is the penalty shootout the worst way to decide anything in any sport?
I suppose the only other way is to play another half hour, I suppose, and then keep on playing another half hour and then play another half hour. Like, I don't like golden goal. Like, I feel
okay,
like...
Okay, so you're not saying golden goal. You say keep going with more halves.
Well, I imagine you have to. Like, that's the only kind of fair way, kind of give both teams a chance to at least play the same amount of time and try to outscore each other. Yeah, but
it's so much pressure on that last...
Oh, dude.
That last taker. And just, you know, and the thing was in this fucking penalty shootout, like we'd stop one from France. You're like, fuck, we're here. We've got it. And then we'd fuck it up. And you're like, not again.
Yeah.
What did that happen, like four times?
But then you just watched the players walking up to the spot and just that close-up of their face and just that deep breath that they're taking, and you just go,
yeah,
I feel it too, mate. I'm feeling it too.
So, yeah, so it was a fantastic win from the Matildas, and they obviously get to play England on Wednesday night, which should be an absolute cracker. So,
yeah.
How big do you reckon it would be if they make the final? Like, will that top Cathy Freeman's run in the 2000 Olympics?
I reckon definitely, actually. I called it ages ago. I was like, this fucking World Cup's going to be fucking massive. It's going to be jam-packed. And
really? You said a World Cup with the best football teams in the world in it
but
was going to be huge.
Actually, well...
Next you're going to say the Super Bowl is going to be massive. That's what I'm hearing from you.
But also...
Michael Chamberlain says the Olympics people get around them.
Well, maybe not the Brisbane ones, but the France ones could be great. Paris. I'd actually love to go to Paris next year. Anyway, so where do you plan to watch it on Wednesday then? So another couch job? Don't move location so you don't jinx it?
Yeah, I probably will. I'm going to see a film in the Melbourne International Film Festival on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And so I reckon the timing for that will be perfect by the time I get home. The kickoff, so it's just perfect.
And actually, I've been clicking on the resale website. Actually, I'm just doing it right now as well. So for the little tip for the junk timers out there, for the Sydney game, tickets do bob up, like for the on the resale on the FIFA website. And so I've been clicking in, and usually when they bob up, they're children's tickets, but they're like $15, $30.
Oh, really?
So yeah. No, top ticket was like $50, I think.
So do they not do like a StubHub where they just go, I'll put whatever price I want on it?
No. So I think they
it.
Say,
it's not like that.
There was a thing, I think they say you can make it like 10% extra. And I think no less than 15% less.
I mean, this sounds like a missed opportunity from FIFA, one of the world's most corrupt institutions.
I know, to be able to make
a shit ton of money.
Well, if I'm clicking you through now, okay, so there's a ticket for 110 at Eden Park for the other semi-final. So actually, there's quite a few tickets for the other... Oh, well, I'm in now. I could buy a ticket right now for Eden Park.
That is fascinating. I'm very surprised by that.
And then I can maybe unsell that a little bit with a little bit of...
yeah, but or you get stitched up because you can't go and you can't sell it.
If you click through the resale, you might just luck out. It's a bit like getting tickets for Tay Tay at this stage, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. But you know what? The hottest tickets in town, regardless whether Australia, you know, make it through to the final. Yeah. Everyone talking about the resale of these tickets is our live show, Michael.
Our live
show. Sunday, September 3.
4 p.m. at Morris House, formerly the European Beer Cafe. We've held our live shows before. I'm actually quite interested to go and look at the renovations that they've done there because I haven't been to that venue since they've done the renovations.
It's pretty swank. They've done a good job.
There's a jacuzzi near the front row. There's a grotto up the back.
And
we're going to have special guests, Razor Ray Chamberlain and Campbell Brown. Tommy Little, comedian extraordinaire, will be joining us as well, talking about his adventures as a Collingwood fan.
Yeah, I was chatting to Tommy on Friday night as we were watching the Geelong Collingwood game unfold, and it's good to have someone. We haven't really had a lot of Collingwood involved in our show. We tortured Scott Dooley at one of our live shows after the 2018 grand final loss.
But at least they'll be up and about
and flying when we can talk to Tommy about it. And also, he's really good mates with Campbell Brown, so we might get some. Maybe we can get some extra stories that neither of us know about that Tommy dig into Brownie. And also, we didn't get a chance to talk about Campbell Brown on the show last week because it came through after we recorded. You obviously did the thing at the start of the program last week. But he is going to be fantastic, Campbell Brown.
I'm
really looking forward to that. His time at Hawthorn, and he was obviously there when the Gold Coast Suns started. So it's going to be a fun afternoon. We've still got another guest to announce, so we will be announcing that. Keep an eye on our socials and we'll announce that in the next episode.
One of my favourite quotes of all time is it, if I get the words right, is it, I want to get it tattooed on my body. And it's like, can you go and get fucked and get out of my life and get off my property and call up and make an appointment like any other cunt?
Oh, wasn't it Show Some Manners, you cunt?
Yeah, it was fucking brilliant. Mel Brown.
It was something like that. And of course, tickets available at trybooking.com. We'd love to see you there, Junk Timers. It's going to be massive.
Hey, we don't normally delve into this kind of world, Adam, but young
well,
love.
Well, it's sadness. Yeah, young love. Young it is love. When you just see, when love doesn't work, it just makes us all think about where we are in life, you know?
A little bit. It's like when you see a couple break up and you kind of go, well, if they can't make it, what hope do we have, you know?
I agree. And it's with much sadness, I guess, we announced the end of probably everyone's favourite sporting couple.
Yep.
Wayne Carey and Katie O'Neill, it says here, have called it quits.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know they were together and it's already over. The blink of an eye.
Yeah, I mean, the media, you know how they have Bennifer and stuff like that. So with the Duck and Katie, it was Ducty. That's how it was written about in the media. And
it wasn't the best one.
It was a shame, yeah. I mean, I spoke to the Duck earlier this week just to kind of check in on him and see how he was. And
you're good buddies, you two. Pretty tight.
Yeah, yeah. And look, he was honest and he said he'd been hitting the anti-inflammatories.
Mate, we all got our coping mechanisms, you know.
No, you gotta. I mean, well, a breakup, you know. I remember. Have you ever done this? I remember preparing for a breakup, and I was like, I'm so gonna get, this is like years ago, and I was like, I'm gonna go and meet her, and I'm like, I'm gonna get dumped. I'm so gonna get dumped. And so I think I bought like, you know, a bottle of vodka or something, and like a bunch of junk food because I was like, I'm just gonna need consoling when I come home.
Yeah.
But then she didn't break up with me. So I was just left with all this like shitty junk food and a bottle of vodka, kind of like, what do I do with this now?
No, but that's vodka of joy and junk food of joy at that stage.
Got away with it, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine bringing Duck back to your mum and dad?
Oh, look, it would be interesting.
Just walking through the door.
It would be interesting.
Mum and dad, it's Wayne Carey. Oh, I've read about you, Wayne. On a number of occasions. But I have you ever met Duck? I had an interaction with him once at the Comics Lounge.
Yep.
In a comedy club in North Melbourne. And I just went to pull in my car and then Duck pulled in next to me. And he kind of made a comment and I didn't quite hear it. And he kind of...
Yep.
And I was like, oh, sorry. And then I worked out what he was saying. It was like, running late, mate. And I thought maybe I'd parked at a weird angle or something because I think I was running late because I was the MC.
Yeah.
And so I went backstage for about 5 minutes. I was just going, okay, that's a weird thing. Okay, Wayne Carey, okay, what can I talk about? You know, often it's fun to kind of tell a story that just happened to, you know, not like, you know, the other day walking down the street, you know, like a proper story. And then I think, okay, I had a few jokes kind of prepared in my head. And then I walk out onto the stage and the very very first person I see is Wayne Carey. And I'm like, okay, I'm not saying a word.
Yeah, no, I'll keep that. I'll keep all that to myself. Now, the one time that I really did have an interaction with him, I didn't know him, but I was down at the Portsea pub with Mick Malloy.
Oh,
and the Duck was at a table near us. And Mickey went to the bathroom and I went up to the Duck and said, can you go up to Mickey and say really sternly, hey, mate, stop fucking making so many jokes about me. And Duck was like, yeah, no worries at all. So I'm sitting there with my beer and then Mickey comes back and then the Duck just comes over and he's like, oh, how you going? And he eyeballed him. He's like, mate, I've fucking heard you. I want you to knock off those fucking jokes.
Dude.
And the fucking tension for about 5 seconds was the best I've ever seen.
Fucking hell, man. That would actually... Do you reckon that would happen to Mick a bit? Like, I have vague memories of, I think Will Anderson's had a bit of trouble with people, like he'd made jokes about people and they've kind of like gone, well, mate, don't do that.
We don't take it very well. Yeah, I think he probably would have because I suppose across the journey when you're on, you know, Brekkie Radio, you talk about whatever's in the news,
yeah.
You know, the way that you and I probably shouldn't wander down the streets of Port Melbourne anytime soon. You know, it's just those things
I feel like
probably make jokes. You don't even think it's not like a personal attack, but when the player hears about it, they're just like, oh, you know what? I didn't like that.
For sure. I feel like if we're ever walking down the street in Port Melbourne and we have a hankering for a bread roll at any stage, we shouldn't go into any bakery at all.
No. We should be carb free anytime we go to Port Melbourne. Or if we do go to Port Melbourne, we've had enough stuff that takes us takes away our appetite.
Yep.
It's probably the best bet.
Hey, weird stuff out of the Eagles, man. So possibly the worst team of our time of watching football?
I think across a single year, I reckon you would have to say so. Like, all right, Carlton had like a sustained bunch of years where they'd win two or three games, but we certainly
fun. Yeah, they were good years. They were very fun.
You know, I remember all of them because most of them were for this fucking podcast. But, but the Eagles, like at least Carlton, you know, they'd be a little bit competitive. They wouldn't, there wasn't that many 100-point smashings. There, there were a few across the journey that I had been at and, you know, were deplorable. But West Coast are just an absolute fucking farce from top to bottom.
Yeah, yeah. I was got a message. I messaged back and forth with Craig Coombs, our recruiter friend.
Yeah.
Shout out to Coombsy, and he actually reckons North is way better chance of bouncing back than the Eagles while looking at their list.
Well, I think if you look at the list, like North has started to build, you know, a pretty good midfield and stuff. They probably need some key defenders and they're about to lose Ben McKay, so that doesn't help them. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of where they are, I reckon they're at least like probably a year or 18 months in front of West Coast, because West Coast, they can you believe, okay, before we get to this story, they offered another contract to Luke Shuey. The bloke's played like four games in the last 5 years.
Yeah, sure.
And he keeps pinging his hamstring and they're like, do you want to go around again? And he said no.
Well, they did show a bit of strong action by the fact, and we were strong on this all year, and it was the call that needed to be made when they sacked their fitness coach. And we were like,
oh, absolutely.
That's a step forward, okay? They're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Because we now find the Eagles, like, instead of getting beaten by 120 points, they're getting beaten by 100. And we go, well, that's... They're moving in the right direction, obviously, there.
Yeah. But because clearly that bloke was flogging them too hard. Yeah. Like, he'd go, can you run three laps? And they'd be like, mate, we've only got two in us. He's like, run three. And then they'd be cooked, you know, by quarter time.
But then there was a weird story here. So regarding Brad Howe?
Howe? Hoff? I'm not Hoff? Quite sure.
Yeah, I'm actually not quite sure either, actually.
Yeah.
Household name. and they pulled him out of the game this week. He was all suited up, ready to go. They put him out of the game because he'd had too much Ventolin.
Yes, which I didn't realise. Okay, so twofold to this story. They pulled him out so late that the game had to be delayed. So everyone was on the field. Yep. And then I think the doctors were like, hey, this kid can't play because he's had too much Ventolin. And so they had to wait while they updated the team sheet. And so everyone was just standing around. The players were on the field. They had no idea what was going on. And this kid's just like, oh, I'm not allowed to play now. But I didn't realise that there was a limit of Ventolin inhalation on the day of a game. You can only have, I think they said six is the amount of puffs you can have.
And I actually find that to be a remarkably low amount of puffs that you can have. Like, six is nothing.
Not really, particularly because they said he had flu during the week, right? So if that is affecting your chest, then you're going to have like maybe, say, two in the morning, two at midday and then two at night, right? That's their limit. But sometimes when you're feeling wheezy, you know, you just have like 15, 20 puffs. You just create a big fucking gas cloud around your head.
It feels massively unders too. And I wonder what the... if Ventolin had been kind of abused in the past that they had to bring in a limit or you know... Well, you know, back in the day when people were having caffeine tablets? Like,
remember back in the day when people were snorting speed?
And the idea that maybe people were taking, you know, 20 puffs and it gave you a bit of a boost or something. I'm not really sure. But yeah, I can't imagine
what it would do to you except make you a little bit kind of lightheaded, I would have thought. Like, it's not going to make you... It's not going to give you extra lung capacity, or rather, everyone would just be on the fucking Ventolin.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm on about 35 puffs a day nowadays. Got a problem. You better go and try to buy Ventolin nowadays. Like, they give you a fucking third degree. It's like you're trying to buy Sudafed.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, some places you got to fill out your name and give you a Medicare card and stuff like that. Now, I think back in COVID times, people were going and bulk buying them. And so they actually wanted to put, I think they had a limit on, also I think maybe a limit on how many you can buy and then also the time frame you can buy them. So, you know, have to wait a month or something to get more. But yeah, sometimes you go into a shop and you go, dude, I just want to fucking...
Oh, mate, like when you go to buy...
I just want to play for the Eagles, mate, okay?
Like when you go to buy cold and flu and they're like,
yeah,
have you bought any this week? I'm like, Mate, do you know how many I need to buy to fucking crush up to make something, to make meth? Like, I'm just buying one fucking packet. And look at me, I look shit ass.
Do they have a limit on that shit? Like, can you go and buy, like, 3 packets of Sudafed? Or do you have to have a, just like, one at a time or something?
Yeah, I don't reckon they'd let you do that. Yeah. I reckon there's a bit of a, you know, a restriction on that. And also, all you got to do, though, is you just got a chemist hop like I do. You just go to fucking 20 chemists in the area.
Yeah, sure, fucking, sure.
I'm pepped up all the time.
Or maybe you go to that little black building in Brunswick next to the gym and you can talk to a few mates there.
Mate, our friends have moved out of there. So.
Oh, have they really?
It's harder to get, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they can crush up some stuff for you if you need it.
So do you know where they've moved to?
I didn't follow it up, Michael. It wasn't something I was that interested in following up.
Oh, hey, so they're just...
Guys, where are you off to?
So they're just upped and left in the middle of the night for no apparent reason. Okay.
No reason at all, yeah. They moved compounds, as we say in the game. Where do you get a new compound? Do you go on domain.com.au?
I mean, with this rental market too. Like, if you're walking in there...
It's tough, isn't it?
You know, I hate it when you... You know, when you're trying to rent a... Just average Australian trying to rent a compound.
Mm.
Oh, and the forms they make you fill out. And you got to show up to the rental inspection. And there's like another 50 club leaders at the inspection.
Yeah. And all you want is a two basement place, and it's fucking hard to get in this market.
I mean, it's so difficult to get a soundproof location these days.
Oh fuck, it's unbelievable. And the worst is those boomers who have those investment compounds.
Oh no, those boomers with their bicycles going on a leisurely stroll, while some of us with our Harleys just want to get in on the ground floor. Come on, our Anthony Albanese, it's time to step up and help hard-working, good, honest, bikey groups make a living. Just trying to get by.
Where's the first compound owner's grant gone? You know, just fucking help these guys out. This is ridiculous.
Oh, come on, Anthony Albanese. Act now, mate.
Yeah, this has got to stop. Hey, I'll tell you who needs to act now. What are we going to do for our grand final entertainment, Michael?
That's a very good question. It's fallen apart. Crowded houses apparently pulled out. People suspect maybe a little bit of shenanigans from the NRL, saying they might have poached them. But also on top of that, a Collingwood supporter called Eddie. I haven't heard of his name before, but a Collingwood supporter called Eddie. He said that it might have had to do with the location of the stage. There was a bit of a dispute. And so Crowded House, in all their power, went, well, F you, Gil. And they took their acoustic guitar and left.
Yeah, they're either we're in the middle of the ground or we're not at all. And they went, mate, you got to be where Meatloaf was. They went, that's shit house. And they fucked off. I actually thought Crowded House would have been a pretty good get for the grand final. Like, they're not really ampy. Like, I don't know if they're going to top Robbie Williams, by the way. No. That's going to be a hard thing to get in.
Well,
front of.
You say you're not going to top Robbie Williams. I say you're not going to top Delta Goodrum.
I know.
Little Delta in a little outfit singing kids with Robbie. Oh.
But they were talking about potentially, sorry for that junk time, is that you had to hear that. Michael has had a crush on Delta for many, many years.
I'll tell you about that time I did a sketch with her on Skidhouse.
So they were talking about maybe getting Kiss as the replacement.
I think that'd be great. I think Crowded House, I love you guys, but you're a bit too low-key. Okay, you want something a bit more up and about. I think Kiss, fits the market. All the boomers there. They'll love it. I think their song and dance. No, I was going to say that. I mean, the show, you know, the makeup, the outfits, everything. I think, you know, come out, do a bit of. I was made for loving you.
Yes.
And then do
a bit of Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, do a bit of Party All Night, that one. And then for the Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, you'd. Fans do God gave rock and roll to, and then you're out. Bingo, bingo.
Who do you reckon would be the ultimate get if they could get anyone in the world? I'm thinking that it would be the Fooey's at the moment. They fit the bill. You want to rock? I think you want a rock act. I think you want to make the stadium fucking buzz.
Yeah.
And it's either the Fooey's or if you could get Metallica, I reckon that would be enormous.
I think Metallica's a bit too loud. Like they're a bit too loud.
Fucking weak.
But having said that, I remember going to the replay grand final with Lionel Richie, and he literally played to the whole ground and got the whole crowd involved, and like it was actually a kind of a masterclass of going like, oh, and he was on the Meatloaf stage, but like he had the whole crowd into it.
I reckon all you need is someone who has, say, four songs that everyone knows, like Robbie Williams did. You know, Meatloaf, you're kind of like, yeah, whatever. But Lionel Richie certainly fits that bill.
Yeah.
If you know four songs, that's enough for the crowd to be like, I fucking love this. You know, I was there, you're up and about, you're singing with it. If it's just, because you can't get anyone too contemporary because it just kind of falls away. Like maybe Tay-Tay could do it.
Oh, definitely she could do it. I was actually in my head thinking right now who would be the biggest selling act, and it'd be Tay-Tay and Harry Styles, I reckon. Probably, I don't think Liz...
See, I don't know any Harry Styles. Okay, that's not helping me at all.
Gotta get away from here. So that's really only one I know.
Yeah, okay, so that's one. So you need another three. That's what I'm saying.
I'd say... I don't think Lizzo's up to stadium sales yet.
Yep.
And then, I mean, Australia loves Pink, but also if you get an act that can already fill out the arena, why would they do the grand final? They just go, I can just sell out the arena. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's not for that. It's just for the prestige of having done a grand final.
You know what would be beautiful? Beautiful on the grand final stage. Just a little bit of Guns and fucking Roses, mate. Oh, thank you for coming out. Thank you. Perfect.
Perfect.
Welcome to the jungle. Sweet Child of Mine. Paradise City. That's 45 minutes. They're out.
November rain. All during the first quarter. I think that works. They're still going. They can't get them off. Just hear the siren over fucking when Slash is doing his guitar solo during November rain.
Oh, that would be fucking perfect, though, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Hey, footballers in real life.
Hit me.
Before we do, we don't forget our live show with Razor Ray Chamberlain, Tommy Little and Campbell Brown. Tickets can be found at Try Booking. Sunday, September 3 at 4 p.m. at Morris House. It's going to be nuts.
Hey, now, you're one of those people, just before we get to the footballers in real life, you're one of those people that would wear a football jumper to the football, aren't you?
I would wear a jumper to the Hawthorn Grand Finals because it was my lucky jumper. So I wore it in 08.
Yeah, okay.
And then I wore them. I actually made the error. So I wore my Cyril jumper. I had big on the day of the grand final. I had actually had a football jumper given to me by Campbell Brown because I did an interview with him. And so on the day of grand final, I got a big texter and I wrote Cyril in big letters on the back of my jumper. And then at the morning of 2012, I went to... relax, there's a long story. And the morning of 2012, I met up with a friend of the show, Declan Fay. And I was wearing my Cyril jumper, and then he gave me a jumper that had been autographed by Cyril because Deck was doing the podcast at Hawthorn at the time.
Yep.
And so I put that on, put my Cyril jumper in the bag, and then obviously we faced the depths of defeat, but that was the umpiring. And so I thought for 13, 14, 15, I had to wear the lucky Cyril jumper. But I don't normally wear them.
Okay, right.
I'm not a scarf guy.
Okay. The only reason I asked that is I was at the Rose yesterday and the Hawthorn Bulldogs game was on, and there was a big unit there who just had his Hawthorn jumper with nothing else underneath. So a lot of times you'll see it go over a T-shirt or a jumper. Sure, you know, sure. People just put it on for the game. And then on the back, and it was a big unit, it had written, I ate Brad Soof.
That's a very weird reference. Like, why Brad? Yeah.
I don't know. And he wasn't like, I wasn't saying he was a big unit as in like chunky. He was like built. He was like, you know.
A tall guy. Buff.
No, like Jim.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe like if you kind of go, you don't want to go too unrealistic. So you don't want to be like, I ate big boy McAvoy. And people are like, no, you didn't. No, you can't. Yeah, you can't eat that, mate.
You could eat Brad Sewell.
But he could eat Brad Sewell, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you'd reserve wearing the actual jumper and nothing underneath, so you got the arms out. I think you reserve that stuff for overseas travel. So at the cricket.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when we went to Bali for Limo's wedding years ago, I saw a guy in an Eagles jumper and I was like, perfect. That's everything I want from a trip to Bali.
Absolutely. Oh, if you ever see anyone at the top of a light pole in in Rome, they're going to have a Collingwood jumper on. I remember seeing a Collingwood jumper at the Vatican.
Papa Frankie.
Just being like, oh, and another time I went and saw a band called Sick of It All, which is like a New York hardcore band in London. And there was a dude there in an Essendon jumper.
Perfect. Perfect. That's all you want. Yeah. Like the pics my brother sends of, you know, his kids and stuff going to all the parks in London. And they're always rocking a Hawthorn jumper of some type. Yeah.
Yeah.
From Anonymous, okay. So it's not
this is good.
It's not particularly saucy, but like Anonymous.
Oh,
just
no, it's pretty great. It's pretty great.
A belated Hungry Jacks related story for you. So we talked a couple of weeks ago about Adam Simpson becoming a Hungry Jacks magnate, and he owns two of them now over in WA.
And then someone wrote to us and said that, I think it might have been Cindy, said that players go and do in-store appearances at Hungry Jacks as well.
A little cashy there, yeah. A belated Hungry Jacks related story for you. It would have been around 1998, 1999 when Mick Malthouse was Eagles coach and friends and I were dining at the swanky Claremont establishment. We were doing very well back then. Would have been about 14, 15 at the time.
Okay.
Not so much now, thanks Phil, you low dog.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means. I thought Rosie would appreciate what we did here.
Here we go. These people know me well.
Anyway, Mick was eating with his family and my friends and I may or may not have hurled chips. We definitely did. And shouted, go Frio.
I love it.
Was pretty indifferent to footy at the time. It just seemed like a thing to do. Have since become a Dockers fan, although still unsure who's come out better from this experience. Anyway, we threw chips at Mick. His daughters may have been collateral damage, but that happens in battle sometimes. Years later, I got horribly sick from eating there again, so maybe that's karma or just the general shit quality of Hungry Jacks. I will remain anonymous in case the Black Ops retroactively investigate me. So that was Christy Malthouse? Was that her name?
Yes, Journo? That was his daughter, yes.
Oh, she would have been, she cop. Hey, that's what, you know, as Anonymous said, that's what happens in battle sometimes.
It is, but just can you imagine the bubbling rage.
Yeah, yeah.
As a chip bounced off the fucking head of Mick Malthouse. Just like, you know, if that happened to me, I'd be like, hey, you fucking idiots. Yeah. But Mick Malthouse, like he would have been angry that he had to probably pay for this meal. Oh, he wouldn't have paid. They were sponsored by Hungry Jack's since back in the day.
But he would have also realised that I can't walk over and, you know, give a 14, 15-year-old backhander, as is my want, as is my daily desire.
Yes, but is my right.
Because I'm the most famous man in Perth. So I can't just walk up, you know, mow attached and just smack the fuck out of a 14-year-old.
But it would have crossed his mind. Like, as he's driving home, the white knuckles on the steering wheel just... And the kids are like, Dad, it's okay. And he's like, no, you don't throw chips
as the sauce from his double bacon whopper just still lingers in the back of his throat.
He can still taste it on his mustache.
Years later.
An hour later.
Still picking onion ring dust out of his mustache going, those fucking kids. from Janice. Today, whilst out and about on High Street, Malvern, yes, me and my bank manager are doing very well. Mm-hmm. I crossed the street and had to give way to these two walkers. Nathan Buckley, with an unknown female companion, walking what I can only describe as an erection on legs, a long-haired Schnitz von Krumm sausage dog. Not a very manly dog for a tough footballer, and manly man I thought Bucks was. Hawks for Premiers 2024 from Janice. You heard it first.
She doesn't like the little dog. She thinks it should be a tougher dog.
So I'm going to presume that's Bucks' new squeeze. And actually, Janice attached a photo.
Squeeze? What are you from the 1940s?
Yeah, he's got a doll on his hands. Yeah. But Janice attached a photo. And from the angle... I am familiar with that area of Malvern East, Malvern. God. And I thought maybe they were heading towards Giorgio's for a bite to eat, or maybe they'd just been to the library. Who knows?
Okay, yeah, sure.
From Adrian, this morning I had two sightings of Essendon players. First up, at a cafe called The Guilty Moose in Albert Park, I spotted the lanky yet well-groomed form of Kyle Langford paying for a coffee. He seemed quite relaxed, but I can't give any other details. A short time later, at a different cafe in Albert Park, I was paying for my coffee when Ashley McGrath and Nick Cox walked in and stood nearby waiting for a table. They were dressed in trackies and hoodies, no doubt were having a bite to eat before heading into Marvel for the game against North. Albert Park seems to be turning into Windy Hill.
Indeed it must. I would have thought that most of those players, interesting that they're in Albert Park, I would have thought Essendon players tend to be around your Ascot Vale, Mooney Ponds area.
You surely think for the traffic, yeah, it's going to get to training, you know. I mean, I was just thinking the other day, but Brian Lake lived at Caroline Springs, and I think that was an hour and a half trip to get to training each day.
Oh, for the Hawks? Yeah, that would be... Yeah, I reckon that would be the worst thing if you're in a... Like, you know, obviously if you get traded to interstate, you're going to have to move. Yeah. But if you are on a western suburban team that goes to an eastern suburbs team, you'd be like, oh, fucking hell. I love this house that I just bought.
Yeah.
I've got my fucking huge 290-inch TV that I've put up on the wall so I can watch... That I can play NBA, you know... What's it called? NBA... Fucking PlayStation, whatever you call it.
Now, do you think the uniform of choice for players is just trackies and hoodie? Like, have I to think be, so. Surely.
Yeah, I think so. And two, like, obviously, if this is game day, then they're on their way to the ground. Interesting that they would eat something from a cafe before the game. Mm. I would have thought that, I suppose maybe the dietitian says, yeah, you can have some bacon and eggs or whatever. But I would have thought they'd be pretty strict on that. Like, you go, I've got to have my Weet-Bix, my 34 Weet-Bix before I play. Or well, I wouldn't fuck with that.
Yeah, a lot of them would have their daily, their kind of habits. I think I noticed the footage of the Matildas were given, they were handed over a surprise Tim Tams. And if I remember correctly, it was before the game and not the quarter. But and I believe a bunch of them had a bit of pizza in their hand. So...
Yeah, okay, a little bit of carb loading before
I suppose
the game.
So, yeah. See, it's kind of different. Yeah, you do. You do what works for you, Adam. Like, what do you do before you play football? How many beers do you drink? How many puffs of Ventolin do you have?
Yeah, at least 40.
Hey, we're going to hit the road. We are Junktime Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. The lid is off. Go Hawks.
Come on, Baggers.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.